The show today is canceled due to human-caused global warming. Or is it cooling now? Or is it both, warming and cooling? Whatever the government says, I believe them. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I've got children. I've got 21, 23-year-old children. And what's their future with you people with money? You talk about money all of the time.
Okay. Sit down, please. Sit down, please. What in the front row.
In 2011, my wife and I were in Antarctica, renewing our vows. For most of you that don't know, Antarctica's on a mountaintop. Okay? And there is a $500 million facility, scientific facility there. And the scientists came to give us presentations about global warming. And they had cores of ice that they had drilled. They had drilled 4,000 or 5,000 cores, and they only brought 15 or 20. So they're going through the second or third core, and they said 275,000 years ago, this was the temperature, blah, 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 blah. And then 55,000 years ago, the world was 2 degrees warmer Celsius than it is today. This is 2011. And stop. And he said, and I said, well, you mean the whole world? He says, yes. And the poles are only benchmarks. And I said, well, what about the things that the young woman alluded to? Okay. And he said, it's all cyclical. And although the gas may have exacerbated it, in the cosmos of time, it's not a fart in the wind. In the cosmos of time, of the 13.8 billion years, it's not a fart in the wind. Now, my direct answer to your question, if that were really true, which you believe, and let's just for a moment say that it is true. That means that the best scenario vis-a-vis global warming is about 10 feet raise in water. That's the best scenario over the next 40, 50 years. That's the best scenario. The worst scenario is about 100 feet. But let's just take the 10 feet. If the water on the planet is going to rise up 10 feet, that means the southern part of the United States is gone. England is gone. Most of Europe is gone. And I can go, most of Central America is gone. Okay. If that's the case, let's just take Florida, for example, which is one of the fastest growing condominium, beachfront condominiums on the planet. In the prospectus, when you invest, there should be, in the footnotes, if global warming is for real, they won't put it that way, global warming happens and water rises 10 feet, this investment you made is not one single investment prospectus written since 2000, this century, has alluded to global warming. If it were really true, the banks wouldn't invest. The banks wouldn't finance. So the people that have the money, and I'm jealous of the Vice President, Gore. I am jealous he came up with a scam before I did. Because the financial institutions, the banks of this world, no, it's not going to happen. Otherwise, you couldn't get a loan in London. You know those 30, 40-year mortgages? The world will be over by then. Is Barclays Bank going to give you a loan? With the greatest respect, ma'am, it's the greatest fraud that's been perpetrated on mankind this century.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. That was Dan Pena. Love it. Boy, what a great answer, right?
Yep.
When you really start digesting the material and thinking about it.
And she listened. She stopped yelling.
She stopped yelling. She would not stop. I mean, it was like, you people with money, you are polluting my world that we're all going to die in a decade and my kids aren't going to live. I mean, it was just hysteria. And I'm glad that he tackled it the way he did. It brings a whole different perspective. And so I play that a few times on the show because I do think that perspective is worth understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There was a document today that, you know, that people were passing around, and I commented on it because it was, we were just talking about Trojan horses in the last hour. And I was talking about the fact that this said in 1989, the UN came out and said that by 1998, we were done. Completely 100% done. And Of course, we weren't.
Right.
In 69, we came out with, we were going to be popsicles. Everybody was going to be frozen over. Life magazine, Time magazine, it was all over the front news. I mean, it was all over international news and of course, United States. Yeah. And then Al Gore got in the mix. And Al Gore, by 2013, had a movie. And we've talked about this right on the show. I've said this. And I do say it. I do say sometimes what I say several times because new people are listening, mm-hmm. or I'm trying to give some context here. So we have all of these times where it's always a decade out, and there's a reason it's always one decade. It's a reason they don't that Alexandria Useless isn't saying it's 20 years out or 30 years out. It's because you know that if you're going to be affected by something in a decade, you have to act ridiculously, and you have to buy in to whatever bought and sold scientists are trying to sell you, and that you have to run around, oh my gosh, we're going to die we don't have much time. Because they know if it's 20 to 30 years that you will basically get lazy, right? And you'll say, no, you know, it's good. I can work on that in a decade. So they always do it within one decade. That's been the pattern. They started that in the 60s. They've been doing a pattern of 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. If we've been dealing with human-caused climate change, human-caused is what we're talking about, for 50 years, then we should be in it right now. And you shouldn't even have to talk us into it because we should be in it. And don't you... I'm wondering if anyone else is realizing that today starts today. So each decade that they've told us our demise is 10 years out, it starts today because they can't convince you. And I'm so glad that they can't convince you that it's going on right now, that you're in the thick of it. Right. So it's always it's coming. And then in 10 years, we're done. Not,
yep.
You know, look around. We're in it. So that's always kind of struck me as kind of odd and funny. But there was an interview by Alex Newman. Alex Newman did an interview with Dr. William Happer. When did Trump bring him on?
Last fall.
Okay.
He was brought in last fall, but not as climate. He was brought in as something else. And right. Now he's been moved into being the climate skeptic for the administration.
Yeah. Let me play this clip for you. This is good. I'm going to play. It's only 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Here we go. This is him commenting. Alex Newman is interviewing him, and this is Dr. William Happer from Princeton. Here we go.
How can it be that there are still so many scientists who are running around saying that the science is settled and that we need to accept the IPCC's conclusions? I mean, do you have any thoughts? I don't know if you want to speak to the motivations of other people, but what's really driving this?
Well, most scientists don't know any more about climate than you do. You know, they work in different fields, and I would guess you know more than many of them. Scientists in general, academics in general, feel that they ought to be appreciated more by society. You know, they're smart. You know, they've got tenure. You know, why am I not rich? You know, so I think it's partly a resentment that they haven't done better. Society treats them like ordinary people when they feel like they're superior people. And so I think there's a lot of frustration there that is showing. And then there's tribalism that if one area of science is being questioned, you know, climate science, even if you work in neurology or, you know, some other completely different field, you tend to rally around because you regard it as an attack on your own field. And so there's this sort of tribal reaction, too. So the motives, as you say, it's very hard to identify someone else's motives. And there are lots of scientists like me. I'm certainly not the only one who are quite skeptical about the whole thing and a little bit embarrassed for science itself.
What is it like to be a scientist and come out and say the things that you say, that, you know, the CO2 is not a pollution and we need to take a step back here? I mean, what has been the reaction of your fellow scientists? I mean, have you been treated differently since you spoke out on this issue? What has been the reaction from your colleagues?
I've been treated pretty well by most of my colleagues. You know, they still believe in academic freedom, you know, and so I have no complaints on that score. You know, of course, I get lots of death threats and hate mail and things like that from non-scientists. So I think one of the things that other scientists ought to understand is that they're in bed with a movement that is not a very good movement. You know, it's a vicious movement, and they ought to denounce it. You know, I noticed, for example, that President-elect Trump went to some trouble to denounce, you know, all of the bigots that were riding his coattails. He says, stop it, I don't approve of this. But I don't see that happening with scientists, you know, and so that troubles me, actually.
Wow, that was Dr. William Happer, Princeton, and he is...
Well, he's been around a while.
Uh-huh. Yep.
25 years ago, he went to work for the U.S. Department of Energy. And at the time, Al Gore... was his big thing was the chemicals eating away at the ozone layer. Well, the story is that Happer went to the White House and told Gore staff, there's no evidence that shows that the ozone hole is actually hurting anyone. And Gore got annoyed and Happer got fired from the Department of Energy.
And so there was a headline not too long ago where it said Trump has now conceded to climate change.
Right.
That wasn't true. He actually put Clapper on Happer. I'm sorry. He put Happer in charge and formed a committee. Right. And I think to bring out the non-science. Did you listen to Happer when he said there's tribalism, so people will rally for the tribalism aspect, which he's exactly right. Your field of science, if somebody's knocking your field, you're going to stand up for them, even though you don't know anything about that field of science. You only know your own. The other thing he was saying was how vicious the movement is. His death threats were not from other scientists. His death threats are from people that are non-scientists.
Yes.
Because it has become so vicious. Now, we're in a time now where we just put forth the Green Deal, right? And of course it got shot down. But my fear is that in the future it won't be, or we will have to meet them halfway on the lie. Because today, you know, we were noticing there was a lot of GOPers that were coming out and basically saying, you know, you have to do concede that there is human caused climate change. No, you don't.
Sure you do.
And what was their reason, Uncle Milty, was about the youth? What was their reason?
Well, because the youth,
right.
If you want to get their votes, you're going to have to concede.
Yeah, because you can't tell them they're being lied to. No, no, no. You have to lie to them, too,
yeah.
So that you can get the vote.
Exactly.
Why in the world would we be saying this? This is ridiculous. This needs to be called out. The one thing about Trump when he was running that I was so excited about was that he was calling this out, because there isn't another president that would have. And he truly was saying, no, I'm sorry, this is a total hoax. He didn't say he conceded to it. He said it was a hoax. There's a big difference. So now you have a lot of people out there that think that in order to get along and go along, you have to concede that there is human-caused climate change. When I've had scientists on the show, Jason scientists, who have said it's rubbish. No, it isn't.
Too late.
Oh.
When we come back.
Okay, okay. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Having a good day. I am. I've got Uncle Milty in studio with me, which is always fun. And of course, tomorrow's show, I have Dave is joining me, Investigator Dave. We're talking global politics, what's going on, what's really going on with Venezuela, and what's interesting to know about what's going on with Haiti right now. There's a lot of things playing out politically that really do need to be talked about and getting down to the truth. And sometimes the truth's uncomfortable on this kind of stuff, but we're going to go there anyway. So I welcome you for Friday's show tomorrow and getting down to the brass tacks. I have Uncle Milty with me, and we were just talking about I played a clip of Dr. William Happer, who is Trump's new guy on this.
Yeah.
Who he has been writing about taking apart the
decades.
Nonsense of human caused climate change for decades. Yes.
For decades. And yeah. And Dr. Happer is a Princeton physicist.
Yes. Princeton physicist. Yes.
But here's the good part about how afraid they are of him. On Earth Day in 2017, CNN hosted a talk with Dr. Happer and Bill Nye, the science guy.
The entertainer guy.
Yeah. And they
said, hold on, caller. Yeah.
The headline was Bill Nye on CNN obliterates Trump advisor William Happer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, the entertainer guy.
Yeah,
the guy that's an actor that wanted to be a scientist.
Yeah.
That guy?
Exactly.
Of course, CNN's headline
amazing.
Was. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jay.
You bet.
Dr. Milty, it's good hearing you.
You too. You too. What's on your mind?
I hope you can explain this to me.
Sure, sure.
So he's interviewing a scientist, and the scientist is saying, and I understand what side he's on, but he's saying, you know, we feel like we're smarter than everybody else, mm-hmm. and we're not getting the respect that we're due, so we're going to perpetuate a lie.
Oh, and he wasn't saying that.
Respect?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not saying that. Happer isn't saying that. I just want to make sure we say that. Happer's
well,
not
yeah.
saying
that.
But,
yeah.
But yes, that we're supposed to perpetuate, this GOP-er was, right?
Right.
He was
Fahery.
Saying, what
his
is
last
this?
Name is Fahery, Fehry, something like that.
So he was saying that the GOP needs to concede a little bit to get the votes of the younger people,
right.
Because how dare you come out and call the lie out? So you have to perpetuate the lie in order to get the vote. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, I guess that if they do get the vote, then they're proving that the people that voted for them are as smart as the scientists.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. That's what's so, I know. You're living in a weird world. What can we say? It's a weird world in which people say, meet the lie halfway so you don't ruffle feathers.
That's it.
For the young people that were basically propaganded into believing a lie. You know, I would think that if you were someone of principle, you'd go, hey, that's a lie. So let's correct the lie. Let's not meet them in the middle of a lie. But you'll see a lot of people, and I have scientists that will email me after the show. They always do. You don't understand. It's human caused.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's kind of like what Dan Pena said. Flatulence in the wind. It does about as much for the proof that I have been given by scientists. Yeah, it is cyclical. We are on a cycle. We have cycles that we undergo. 400-year cycles. We have cycles. But we are not enhancing those cycles. Those cycles just, they happen. And the government is able to do a lot of things as well that I think scientists have a hard time conceding, that they can do a lot of things to make it look like it feeds into the narrative of climate change being at hand. But if you look back on the last 50 years that we have been told that we are in the middle of human-caused climate change and it's going to be our demise and we're having an end-of-the-world party, you have to look, I'm sorry, common sense alone and logic dictate that you must look around you right now and stop giving in to this decade-long hoax that we have now. Are we in our fifth decade-long hoax or fourth? Fourth decade-long hoax.
Going on five.
Yeah. How many of these where they say we're going to die in 10 years, whether it be heat or cold, because they can never make up their minds? And that's a whole nother part of the problem. if science was conclusive, boy, you would have some conclusive science on this. But they can never make up their minds. So it's either we're popsicles or we're frying like eggs. So we have such a big problem in America in not seeing reality, but buying into emotion and hype. And when I see us meeting somewhere in the middle and conceding that there's human cause when I know there's not. I had the Jason scientist on. He's now 94, maybe 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
I had him on and he said, it is rubbish. And Obama hired me to perpetuate that lie and I couldn't do it. And I'm standing here telling you I'm one of the few Jason scientists in the world. And I'm telling you that this is a lie. And who else do we need to have on the show I don't even know who else we could have on the show that's enough proof for some of these people that it's like they want to buy into it so bad. They have to buy into it. They can't accept just logic. So they have to make everyone look crazy if they not on board your crazy train of non-logic. Bizarre. Yep. All right.
Well, the good news is he's on the Happer's now on the president's staff, mm-hmm. and he's going to be used to prove that the climate change human caused climate change theory is a hoax.
Yep. I'm so glad. I mean, I don't know what else we can say about it. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. I also wanted to talk about this, too, before the end of the show today. The Equality Act. The Equality Act. Oh, boy. Now, I'm going to guess that you probably had something in your state pass off as discrimination. And let me say the problem with discrimination, once again, is I'll just give you a quick scenario. You own an apartment building. A gay couple, a transgender couple, a whatever couple. In this case, this is going to support this. That's why I'm saying this. Come in and want to, you know, be a renter. You look at their rental history and they're terrible. They've been awful renters. They've ruined properties.
Been evicted.
You don't want them. It should be your right as a business owner. You own the property. You've invested and taken the risks. It's yours. They can walk away saying that it isn't because of their rental history. It's because they're gay or it's because they are transgender that you're denying them. That gives them more rights over you, the property owner. Now we have inequality where we had the equality where the owner could say no. Okay. And even if it was discrimination, okay, go find some place that wants you. This isn't rocket science. I mean, people discriminate a little bit, and if it's their own property, and they have, let's say, a bad intuition feeling about you, a gut feeling, they don't want you on their property. Okay, do you have a right to trump that? It's their property. So we have taken equality, and now we're making it unequal. So now the gay couple can say it's because I'm gay, and they can earn the right to live there through the courts, and the renter now has no recourse. We saw it with the cake baker. We saw it with all these mm-hmm. cases. So the Equality Act, known as H.R. 5 in the House and S. 788 in the Senate, the Democrats are trying to push this through. And I'm sure there's some Republicans on board, too, because let's face it, they always are.
Well, yeah, it's the Equality
Act. It's the Equality Act. How are you not for equality? They really should call this the Inequality Act. Then you would know what you were getting. But this is what this is going to do is the critics are saying that this would criminalize Christianity, Islam, Judaism by forcing virtually every institution in society, including religious institutions, to hire, serve and promote homosexuals and individuals confused about their gender. And a number of analysts have warned that by and this is from Alex Newman again, by the way. A number of analysts have warned that by enshrining sexual orientation into the statute, even pedophilia can be protected in this. Mm-hmm. In the House of Representatives, the Democrats, the Pelosi's, already have more than enough co-sponsors to pass this bill. In the Senate, they're getting really close, but there's a massive coalition of critics from across this very wide political spectrum. And and a broad array of religious traditions, they're rising up to stop it before it's too late. Thank goodness.
Amen.
But I have a feeling this is going to go through, which is it's sickening because this is the Inequality Act. And so the bill purports to prohibit discrimination on the base of sex, gender identity and sexual orientation. So they've now added that in. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it would enshrine actual or perceived sexual orientation and gender identity. I could walk out of the room and say I identify right like 5 minutes ago when I was in that interview for that rental, I identified as a gay person.
And I thought
I was gay, and I think that's why I was denied. People can use it too. It's all perception.
I perceive that they didn't like that about me.
Yeah. And so that would give homosexuality, transgenderism, any perversion of human sexuality, gender, same protections as race and sex and employment, housing, public accommodations, and more. This is the problem when you get government involved at all. Because in America, you should be able to say, this is my restaurant, this is my rental, this is my whatever. And if you're not a very nice person and you don't want somebody there for whatever reason, why are we legislating against you? I mean, you can be not nice in America. You can be nice in America. You can want everybody to live there. You can want no one to live there. It's your individual choice. So the government gets involved and gives you gives other people 100 reasons to trump your right. And that's what this is all about. So, it's despicable. And it applies to churches, religious schools, religious hospitals, religious employers, gathering places, sports, all government entities. And they're talking about, Christian adoption agencies, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, whatever the case may be. This type of legislation is so harmful on so many levels. And it's under the guise of equality, just simply put.
Well, it takes away our right to freely associate with people who think like us.
Yep.
And it doesn't just affect us. Mm-hmm. It affects all of us. I mean, not just conservatives. Black people can be told, you can't associate together.
Right.
Because of this or that, people perceive it wrong.
right.
It's a.
Do you remember the signs? No shirt, no service. No, this is my establishment. I can throw you out.
I reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
You don't see that anymore.
No.
Nope. Doesn't exist anymore because now you have to kowtow. That means other people's rights. They are given more protections of their rights by government than yours. So. Inequality at its finest.
Mm-hmm. Animal farm.
It is animal farm.
All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
The More Equal Than Others Act.
Yeah.
That could be another name.
That would be a great name for it. Let's try that one, see how far it gets.
Oh, my gosh. And then people, the people in elected office go, well, I can't be seen voting against that. Or I'm going to have all of these vicious people at my door, because there really are vicious movements behind this, telling everyone that I don't believe in equality.
Yeah.
It's the hugest lie that we're being told. That's another Trojan horse. The equality. Wow. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daly Show. Couple things. Wow. I can't believe it's almost the end of the show.
I know it.
I know. You should see, when we start out a show every day, you should see how many things we have up. I can't even tell you. And, I was telling somebody the other day, I did about 15 hours of research last week that never even hit the show.
That's right.
Still hasn't. I still have all of this stuff. And I mean, it goes deep too, pretty far down the rabbit hole, but wow. And I haven't even gotten to any of it yet.
There's just too much.
It is. And I know why people get fatigued out there. I know. Mm-hmm. We're going to add to your fatigue in just a second, and you're welcome. A couple of things on the docket. First of all, I wanted to mention Alabama. Interesting things coming out of Alabama sometimes, and it's kind of fun to watch. To avoid the LGBT onslaught, Alabama seeks to end marriage licenses, the way we have done it. We've talked about this on the show that I think that wouldn't be a bad move. We clamored to get the feds involved in marriage. And if you really look at it, I know people think for some reason that's a good thing. But really, if you went to dissect that, do you really think is it necessary that the feds are in control? See, what did they do? They give you, and we've been talking about Trojan horses this show today. They give you a benefit. They give you a little tax thing. They give you something so they can have more control. And so people always think they're getting something for that. We would actually be so much better off as a nation if they were just religious or done by,
ceremony.
It was a commitment between you and your spouse.
That's right. A contract.
We sometimes, it's hard for people to think in those terms because we get used to something being that way. for so long that it's hard to question it, but I really do think that we should question that. So Alabama lawmakers have a plan to protect religious liberty and freedom of conscience from the escalating LGBT onslaught. And this is by Alex Newman again. Predictably, the LGBT movement and its extremely fervent supporters, politicized supporters in the establishment press began hurling bigoted accusations of homophobia against Christian people of Alabama. And so even some supporters of real marriage have concerns about the measure, but the proponents of the legislation to change this, to take it out of the control of the state, say that it might be the best solution in the light of the circumstances. Take it away instead of having to deal with this problem that's now ensued. Take out the problem.
Well, it doesn't bother me one bit to have government out of marriage because, frankly, my faith is that the only marriage that counts is the one that's done in the church.
Right. Eyes of God, right?
Yep.
And so a lot of people feel this way. And so it might me as well. So get the state out of marriage altogether. More than 8 out of 10 voters in the in that conservative state of Alabama decided to enshrine marriage in their state's constitution. But despite this lack of federal authority over marriage, despite the 10th Amendment's very specific reservation of powers, the U.S. Supreme Court lawlessly ruled that none of it mattered and all would be forced to accept the federally mandated perversion of marriage. And the control, we really should say, of marriage.
Well, I'm sure glad they can't rule.
It's only an opinion.
Yep, it's just an opinion.
Yep. And so this is this might get interesting to watch. So Alabama's been at the center of this effort to resist the Supreme Court's lawless opinion in capital letters, purporting to create a right to something known as homosexual marriage. Marriage was always between a man and a woman. It was very definitive. It's like calling a chair a chair. And now we have to call a tree a chair. And that was really initially my whole problem with it. If you want to have a contract and you're homosexual and you want to be in that relationship, I don't care what you do. I really don't. Doesn't affect me. I don't care. Do
That's
it.
Right.
Fine. I'm always one for individual liberty and free agency and make your choices and it's totally fine. And I won't be mean to you. And you won't be mean to me. And we'll live in a happy world of coexistence. But that isn't what's happening. They wanted the word marriage so now we're a tree and a chair or a chair. And this is where a lot of people had the issue was you're changing the whole identity of what marriage is.
Yep.
So so this is their way of dealing with it is to take it out of those hands and fight against this, which they can. See, state sovereignty,
sure.
You can.
Yep.
The Supreme Court making an opinion, well, you know.
Have you noticed lately how many states are coming up with sovereignty issues?
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, we haven't seen that for
decades.
No,
we haven't. And sheriffs speaking out. And because as we ratchet closer on the road of socialism towards communism,
mm-hmm.
we're starting to finally realize it. Now, it might be a little late in the game, but we're starting to react
yes.
to it, right? We just kept thinking that, well, people kept telling us, oh, you're just hysterical.
Yeah,
you're just hysterical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me give you a story like that. There was an article that came out today where there was a conference, the Black Hat Conference in Singapore, where two cybersecurity specialists and experts, two hackers said, hey, there are mysterious undocumented technology hidden on Intel computer chips. These computer chips are called VISA, V-I-S-A, and they actually... are basically a chip that can describe the whole memory of your computer.
Yep.
And it's a back door. And these things were put in. And so it's called VISA, can potentially allow hackers or spies to access the information stored in the computer memory of your computer, as well as the information generated by peripherals. That's the name for computer accessories, which is like a webcam, a mouse. It stores all of that. Ooh. So... the ability would be pretty useful to hackers, as you can probably imagine, to steal information. And normally Visa is turned off in commercial systems, yet the researchers found a way to switch it back on. And why were these things put there? It was discovered in the platform controller hub, the PCH, on Intel motherboards, as well as the main processor itself. And so that serves as the brain of your computer. The Trojan horse, of this. Haven't you always, in the back of your mind, thought, there can always be something, because we're not computer experts. You would never know what to look for.
Nope.
Most people are not hackers
Even
or specialists.
Even computer experts might not know it.
No. But And I know it sounds so conspiratorial. It's just that this doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you?
No.
Not at all. In fact, I've often thought that they've had stuff like this.
I've always had a kind of fear of technology in that regard because of 1984 again. Because in 1984, of course, the televisions were two-way.
Yeah.
And so ever since I was 12 years old, I knew that they could spy on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that there's a lot of things in your home that are taking in data and information 24/7. So again, that came out and I thought we've had a lot of conversations about these sort of hidden things that, I think a lot of people just don't want to believe that it's there. And I think, they were trying to introduce smart, kind of like a smart meter, but for your car.
Yeah.
And they're trying so hard to get at you every single way to collect data on you, to record, to be part of your life, uninvited guest in your life. And they're not stopping this. So I just, an awake and aware populace is the only thing that can.
Yeah. And it's too late to put the genie back in the bottle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But my fear is not that they collect the data. My fear is what do they do with it?
Right.
If they do nothing with it, I don't care what they collect. The trouble is they're human.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something with it eventually.
I do care, yeah. And that's why I care.
Right.
It's because they collect it, they can use it to say anything they want.
Well,
they can reconstruct anything that you say.
Of course. That's why I said if.
Yeah, yeah, if. Yeah, I mean, and we should, I think it's just being aware. It's just being very, very aware. What are you putting on that computer for it to store? Do we realize how many things in our homes take up information when they're not even turned on? There was a reason when they were even doing the Snowden movie that the producers were told to leave their cell phones absolutely taken apart, the battery, everything, in their car as they went into a building, into a special room and had meetings.
Yep.
They wanted that cell phone, even though turned off, they wanted it actually disassembled in the car. There's a reason. And that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And so I remember doing that story and just thinking, no, it had to have been like, what, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that.
Yeah, I remember doing that and thinking, oh my. So a little scary. The Ninth Circuit Court, I want to talk about injustice. Ninth Circuit Court, Kate Steinle's parents cannot sue Sanctuary City for wrongful death. Remember how an illegal alien killed her? That came down from the Ninth Circuit. So sanctuary cities are given that protection. You can't sue.
I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Well, I guess there's lots of ways to look at
this.
Well,
who are they suing?
Mm-hmm.
I think they should be allowed to sue the individuals who made the law that caused the sanctuary city. I don't think they should be able to sue the taxpayers.
Okay. Okay.
But if you want to go after the city council, go after them.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they tried to sue the city whose sanctuary policies were blamed for the tragedy because that's what made this guy be able to do what he could do, to a certain extent, broadly. And my gosh, that was just such a sad case. And what a beautiful girl. What a beautiful girl. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Just a couple things, just little bites in the press. Rachel Maddow lost 500,000 viewers after crying that our president was not in collusion with Russia.
She may have ended her career.
Let's hope. What a Nimrod.
Well, I saw it live.
I mean,
she was crying.
She's a laughingstock. They only have, this is the funniest part. They're only getting like 750,000 viewers at the most. Losing 500,000, she just pretty much lost her audience.
She's their star, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. She is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Adam Schiff, bug-eyed Adam Schiff. Weird Adam Schiff. Still trying to claim that there's collusion.
Yep, even this morning.
Yep, even this morning. And they're asking him to step down. It's pretty funny, actually. I just had to... I had to mention that. Again, Rockland with the measles thing. First time really that's happened to this extent that a county can decide that if you're not vaccinated. And by the way, only 150 cases in the last 6 months. And by the way, now everybody's over it because it only lasts like a week, maybe 10 days at the most. And it's like the sniffles, like a cold, maybe the flu at the most. But calling an outbreak and saying you can't go into public places. I know we just mentioned this just briefly yesterday, but let me tell you, that is a huge, huge warning sign. Because when a county can do that, and they were really targeting a certain group of people that weren't vaccinated in their county. So it's such a huge problem. And I'm New York would be the only state they could actually get away with that. But the fact that they could say, don't go out in public, the gold armband, the star on the armband, I mean, are we just a few steps away from identifying groups of people like of this and telling us they're a danger when everyone that had the measles is over it, probably won't get it again, built up their antibodies.
There really is a huge, huge battle going on now between people that want to get government gone and people that want it to have even more control.
Yep.
It's huge.
I know. Border virtually wide open, 90 days. Department of Homeland Security has lost 100,000 illegals. You know, a wall isn't going to solve it all, but a wall can certainly make a dent. So, like I said before, $1 billion a wall that the Pentagon just released could probably do a good third of what we need.
We're
only getting 57 miles. Go ahead.
I actually would not object to the Border Patrol being told, just kick them back into Mexico. Forget what the law says. We can't
just, back and,
just throw them back into Mexico.
And then have them sue? Because I guess
try to sue to
get
in.
Because we're bending over backwards to accommodate.
You threw me back out when I illegally crossed your border. How dare you do that?
Right. Like to see how far that case goes.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, it would take that case the same length of time it takes us to bring their case for asylum up.
Oh my gosh, you're exactly right. We don't have to feed and house. I mean,
we don't. In the meantime, we don't have them in our country. We don't have them in jail.
You're so mean.
I know.
How dare you not afford them everything that we have, even though we are citizens of the United States? How dare you?
Let them bring a civil rights lawsuit about it.
Right.
And
you
kick
know
them out.
That's not that isn't a bad idea. But we for that billion, we should be getting a third of that wall already just done. And for the ones that don't want the wall, what is it going to hurt you? What's it going to hurt? What's the wall going to actually hurt? Your idea that it's an imaginary boundary? Or is that what it hurts? Because I don't know what it would actually hurt. It would only help. It's mean. Oh, okay. Well. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. We'll talk Venezuela, go into depth. You're going to learn. There's so much to learn. I'm actually excited about going over this in depth tomorrow. I'll have Investigator Dave on the show, and we'll talk about this in depth. Everybody have a great night.